Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the continuation of our glamour work, at least this morning here in darkened Finland. You know, we're so far north, it'll be a while yet before the sun will be coming up. Well, we're going to work the roots of glamour. At one point, DK has told us our suspicion that we find maybe along the first ray line, I would say, and self-pity, second ray line, and criticism, the third ray line. And the glamour that we're going to work on right now, today, is based on suspicion. It is a glamour of a twisted, suspicious a mentality which is driving people to do horrible things. If it was just a thought, it would be one thing, bad enough. But it has descended into the realm of glamour where they seek to act on it and have acted on it in the decisive attack upon the Capitol, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, which led to the impeachment of the former president and I would say finally leads to some kind of hope that we will return to a presidency which is not afflicted by psychological abnormality. But still, the millions of people, millions are subjected to a twisted suspiciousness. There always has to be something behind the obvious, and it has to be sinister. You know, sinister means it goes off to the left. So that is a very important state of the Camel Manus, which we have to deal with. I'd like to welcome you here, Anne Veronica and Anna and Annette and Catherine, Karen, Kim, Leslie, Mariana, Mart, or is it Marty or Martine? I'm not sure. Anyway, it says Mart here. Miro, Numka, Rebecca, and Vicky, and Risto. Some of you from the South Pacific are having a chance to participate in these early morning sessions, which leave a lot of the people in the United States out. Lately, we've had these vigils, as you know, for 80 days, approximately. And they have been vigils which required late hours here. So Tui and I are just kind of recovering, but they've been good for the people in the United States, that's for sure. And that concerned them, it concerns everybody, but it concerned them most of all because of the, as DK says, the battle for democracy will be fought out there, and it's not over because this twisted, suspicious mentality, which of course is illusion, yes, and we're studying illusion, but the fact that it has grabbed the emotions of so many people render it a glamour. And did I say, just wanted to make sure that I didn't leave anybody out, Leslie? And anyway, I know you join up and I could only do this once, so welcome everybody. Now, our reading today is a continuation of the technique of the presence, which dispels illusion. Remember that illusion is dispelled by intuition. Glamour is dissipated by the clear beam of mental light, and Maya is dispersed through the technique of indifference. We have also been working on the idea of dispersal, you know. We've been trying to work with meditation, the sevenfold meditation in Rule 10 from the Rays and the Initiations. It's a advanced meditation. I don't think any of us can say that we fully grasp it, but it is very powerful, and it rids the ethers of the confusion and the distortion and the separation which have their origin on higher planes. So when DK uses the word glamour, he is being specific in one sense and relates it to the emotional level, but he's being general in another sense, and the entirety of glamour, illusion, and Maya come under the heading of glamour. There was a group, you know, that under him was studying glamour, and he had in mind certain things for them to do. Now, those various groups of nine people, they never really did finish their work because the Second World War did intervene, and he had to reorganize everything. Okay. Now we'll read a little bit, okay. And change this into purple. So that if I have to write something, I can. Intuition dispels illusion. Okay, as we just said. Today we have reached a crisis in the field of human apprehension. You know, to apprehend means to take in, it's to grasp, right? And can now enter into a new era wherein illusion can be dispelled, and thinkers can begin to register accurately and without misrepresentation or misapprehension, the wrong grasping, right? Without misapprehension, that which the intuitive conveys to them. See, the whole problem is there may be an intuitive conveyance. Someone with access to the intuitive level may be able to, wait a second. I realize here that you cannot see what I'm doing. That's not very good. Maybe you can. All right, well, there it is. You should be able to see now. So the intuitive may grasp, apprehend what is true, because in a way that is one of the qualities of intuition, that it is, as Master Moria tells us, straight knowledge, without the intermediaryship of the reasoning, so to speak. It's direct, and you don't have to think and think and think to arrive at the truth. It's just there. But it is interpreted by the higher mind, where some illusions can creep in, and especially by the concrete mind and its rigidities. Okay. And then people take it, you know, for literally, they take it for gospel. They take it for truth. They take the misinterpretation, the misapprehension, for the truth as it was revealed by the intuitive. And it's very unlike what the intuitive experienced. So as a result, we have all these horrible distortions of the concrete mind, and from them, great passions arise, and actions, let's say as in Spain and Italy, with the Inquisitions that went on for centuries, at greater or lesser intensity, and carried over even into the United States with the state of mind of the fundamentalist pilgrims that were there, you know, always witch hunting and so forth. So these lower mental interpretations were accepted as the truth. But one day, DK says, maybe one day, we will appreciate directly what the intuitives have to say. Now, the thinkers, and you know, you're a thinker before you're an intuitive. Let's get that clear. The thinkers are generally of a higher caliber than will be the average human being. And so he says that this statement about the thinkers registering what the intuitives tell them is not yet, it does not yet apply to the general public. The depth of illusion and of the glamour arising is even deeper for the general public. And this we have been witnessing. Some of you have probably followed the expectations of the QAnon group, which, by the way, is apparently having some success in spreading all over the world. But anyway, they thought there would be a great storm, and that the former, I don't even want to use his name, but the former dweller in the White House would arrest all of the pedophiles, that is just about every Democrat, and put them to death publicly with the help of the army. You know, it was an incredible fantasy, and it didn't happen. And they're losing their faith, some of them, and some of them are getting even more twisted in terms of their interpretation. They're always looking for codes, signals, subtle things. It's all suspicion. And a kind of a detachment from anything true. It is sick. It is sick. Well, there's not, of course, the general public has some freedom from that, but there are those many, many people that are not free from that kind of twisted suspicion. They can come nowhere near the truth as the intuitive conveys it. So anyway, of the general public, he says, it will be a long time before they respond without illusion, because illusion is based upon the thought form building activity of the lower mind. Now that's really an important idea. Most of what we have to deal with has to do with emotion, and decisions are made on the basis of emotion. So whatever Tibet means by a long time, the masses are just beginning to use that lower mind. And therein lies the problem. Of course, with the internet and all of the enhancements of communication, maybe it's both good and bad. There will be a great opportunity to learn, but at the same time, great opportunity to spread fallacious doctrines and ideas that are just, as the former head of the FBI said, untethered to the truth. He was speaking of the dweller in the White House. The masses are just beginning to use that lower mind, and illusion is, therefore, for them, a necessary stage of testing and training, and one through which they must pass, or they will lose much valuable experience, leaving undeveloped their powers of discrimination. Now that, I think, is very interesting, a kind of a necessary evil, so that one learns how to discriminate. The people who now are so disillusioned when it comes to this great and dramatic storm, you know, that they expected, are now having, many of them, to say, was all of this simply a bunch of bunk, and have we believed it for years? Ever since 2017 and the beginning of that particular administration, and it's been building and building, and they feel foolish. And as a result of this discrimination, they may choose more wisely. But apparently the Tibetan is saying that when you just begin to use the lower mind, it's a dangerous moment. It has its purpose. But you will pass through illusion, and it is necessary. Now, this is a point, he says, which all teachers of occultism should have in mind. It is essential, consequently, that the masses are taught the significance of illusion and be trained to see and to choose the kernel of pure truth in any presentation of truth with which they may be presented. So the golden thread of truth has to be somehow pointed out. And of course, we should not leave ourselves out of this. We have plenty as well, don't we, when it comes to making our way through illusion. We're not there yet, are we? We still are subject to illusion. And will be, well, even up to the third initiation and actually beyond, until we can be rid of the causal body and live the triadal life. So we can judge, but we have to be careful regarding the extent to which we are subject to illusion. It is essential, likewise, that the world intuitives learn to use and to control and understand the faculty of spiritual perception. I think what it is that signals the third initiation, or the possibility of it, is intuitive instinct, whereas spiritual instinct relates to the first initiation. And it's mental perception. I forget exactly how he puts it for the second, but it has to do with the use of the right use of the mentality and the stimulation of the throat center. So it is essential, likewise, that the world intuitives, and you know, we're people like ourselves are studying to be that. Learn to use and control and understand the faculty of spiritual perception, of divine isolation, and appropriate response, which characterizes the intuition. Now, here he calls it spiritual perception, intuitive instinct leading to spiritual perception. And when you talk about spiritual perception, the word spiritual can apply to the soul, but also very much to the spiritual triad, which in a way is the source of what we normally call the soul consciousness within the causal body. Anyway, you know, every one sentence after another really filled with pithy statements. All right. It is essential that they have true spiritual perception. This they do, and here's the point, through the technique of the presence, but not as it is usually taught and presented. Well, you know, maybe he's talking about practicing the presence of God, a Jesuit technique, which is valuable, of course, but not necessarily what he's going to instruct us in. Okay. Perhaps I shall make my meaning clearer. You know, he's not having an easy time of it, because these are thoughts that are usually beyond what we can apprehend. Perhaps I shall make my meaning clearer if I state that this technique falls into certain scientific lines or modes of work for which much of the training given in the schools of true meditation, I think he would consider the arcane school to be such, and in the Raja Yoga systems, have prepared the aspirant. In a way, we're getting into, as we move through Raja Yoga, which is no easy feat, we're moving into Agni Yoga, the first ray aspect of that yoga of synthesis presented by Master Maurya, the second ray aspect of that yoga of synthesis attempted to be presented by the Tibetan. Okay, but anyway, Raja Yoga prepares us, is basically what he's saying, and it is the goal of schools like the Arcane School and, you know, derivatives. All of us are, in a sense, derivatives of that initial offering that Alice Bailey made. It went beyond what theosophy could offer, and we study Raja Yoga. These stages of going through Raja Yoga, and for people like ourselves, when you consider that the third and fourth book of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali are read by masters, we realize it's no simple thing to say, oh yes, I've done Raja Yoga, now I'm on to Agni Yoga. No, we have to continue our work in Raja Yoga. These states begin where the usual formulas leave off and presuppose facility in approach to the angel, you know, the angel of the presence or the soul. and an ability to raise the consciousness to a point of soul fusion. Now, you know, we talk a lot about it. And the question is, can we do it? The ability to raise the consciousness to the point of soul fusion. And that really would be the beginning of the contemplative stage. So here are some stages and processes which he wants to lift. And we may not get through all of them. But yeah, there's quite a few here. So that's not realistic to think that we should get through every one of them at this time. But let's start at least. Yes. So the stages that presuppose an approach to the angel. Now, you know, I think you know, that in Esoteric Psychology, Volume 2, there are 7 stanzas from the old commentary which deal with how to approach the angel of the presence on the 7 different rays. And I've tried to offer some interpretation of that in some video commentaries. So you may find them, you may find them useful. And, you know, just give it a try and read them in the book and then see if what I've said in the video is at all helpful. So here are the stages. The evocation of the stage of tension. This is basic and essential, you know, concentration, tension, focused, immovable will. That's what a point of tension is called. It is a tension brought about by complete control of the personal self so that it is fitted for contact with the real. Isn't that a clarifying sentence? Fitted for contact with the real. He tells us that normally our points of tension are just scattered all over the personality and we don't have much control. But when you think of it, mind, emotion, body, and the general personal direction of the individual has to be fitted before contact with the real becomes possible. Now that is that's maybe what Raja Yoga is all about, getting that fittingness to occur. And when we sit down to meditation, do we ask ourselves, am I at this time of meditative intent fitted for contact with the next level of reality, which would be the soul, and even via the Antahkarana, the triad? Am I fitted? And maybe sometimes we discover that we are not really fitted. There were times, I'm told, you know, a little bit of a, you know, how stories go around Alice Bailey and the Tibetan and all that, but I'm told that there are times when the Tibetan wanted to work with Alice Bailey, but he couldn't because she was engaged in so much concrete menace. Maybe there were just things around her to be done, you know, and duties and requirements for the Arcane School and all that. And her receptive mechanism had to be in a certain condition before he could really get through with what he intended. So that's something to bear in mind always, actually. Otherwise, we're just wasting our time, aren't we, when we sit down and seek to meditate. Okay, the next thing here. So what we're dealing with is process and stages. You know, it's easy to lose your way here in these outlines, unfortunately. But I just put those things in so that I have some anchors. The achieving of a state of fusion with the soul or with the angel which guards the approach to the path of higher evolution. That is the angel of the presence, okay? So, you know, he uses these terms, soul, solar angel, angel of the presence, sometimes quite interchangeably, but at least at my present stage of ignorance, I have assumed that the solar angel is a very great being, essentially at this time, Buddhic in nature, which could not fully incarnate on the higher mental plane. It has to leave some of itself, so to speak, on the Buddhic plane. And then having pervaded the entire universe of the higher mind with a fragment of myself, I remain. And that pervasion produces the angel of the presence, which is as much of the solar angel as the apparatus of man can stand. And that angel of the presence is what it is that eventually introduces the man to his monad. So the achieving of a state of fusion with the soul. Now, or with the angel that guards the approach to the path of higher evolution, namely monadic evolution. And this is interesting, its guardian function. You know, the angel with the flaming sword. You find that particularly in relation to the fifth ray, that angel with the flaming sword appears. Yeah, okay. So, in Esoteric Psychology, again, Volume 2, after we study the techniques of integration, we have to study something more advanced, the techniques of fusion. And the main, presented attributes. Well, okay, isolated unity is the technique of fusion. The watchwords for the technique of fusion on the first ray. Inclusive reason is the technique of fusion for those on the second ray. And presented attributes is the technique of fusion for those on the third ray. And then he will include, I think the fifth ray and the seventh ray will use the first ray technique. And the fourth ray and sixth ray will use the inclusive reason technique. And when it comes to presented attributes, everybody has to use them. The seventh ray with the materialization ability, I think, can also use the third ray technique. But anyway, all the rays are covered, and it's really interesting to study fusion. Now, have we even achieved integration with the soul compared to fusion with the soul, which is more a contemplative state? Okay, moving on, where we're listing the processes and stages of approach to the angel, right? Okay, and here is number three. The holding of the mind steady in the light of the soul, which remains the attitude of the lower self. It's not humanity's attitude yet, is it? And that's why the dweller-angel conflict is existing. So this holding of the mind steady in the light of the soul remains the attitude of the lower self for the entire remaining period of work, held at a point of tension by the soul and not by an effort of the personality. So we've begun to identify as the soul. And the work is held at a point of tension by the soul and not the personality. And I think that is, that requires some pondering. The soul undertakes this holding when the personal self has done its utmost to achieve the desired tension. So basically, at this point, the soul takes over. The angel of the presence takes over. Now, what it does, it's an advanced intelligence. We don't know exactly. But in the fourth ray, there is a kind of a mantra associated with it, having done all to stand, having done all to stand. Now, that is the attitude of the personality. And then the inner warrior is evoked. And that inner warrior is the soul itself. We sometimes forget how much the fourth ray is connected with war, but then, of course, it's resolution. So this is an important point we have to do as a personality, everything we can, before the soul really enters into the picture and takes over the process. So what have we looked at so far in these stages of facility in approach to the angel or the soul? What have we looked at? We've always got a review, right? The evocation of the stage of tension. That's number one. Going to, let's see, what can I do here? I'll just color it that way. The achieving of a state of fusion with the soul. And finally, the holding of the mind steady in the light of the soul. Just imagine taking the whole day, one day, any day in your life, and saying, today I'm going to hold my mind and all of the actions and attitudes and words that may come from it steadily in the light of the soul. It would be a great act of concentration, wouldn't it? And I dare say, after we finished our meditation, a lot of us release that high state and, so to speak, go back to normal. Maybe sometime we should try that, huh? Okay, so these are the three we've looked at so far in the approach to the soul. And these are the three, I'll just finish this one part of this technique of the presence. Okay, so let's call this first three parts of the technique of the presence. These are the three preliminary steps for the practice of alignment, for which the practice of alignment should have prepared the student of the higher mysteries. Okay, we have to differentiate. You know, maybe some of us are just getting into the mysteries. Now, he's that which begins to occur to a person, or to, you wouldn't call him a person anymore, really, on the way of higher evolution. Those are the higher mysteries, really the higher mysteries. As far as the mysteries of the path, they are progressive. The path and the way. That's how I discriminate it in my own mind. There is the path that we are all trying to tread on the way of probationary initiation, discipleship, probationary initiation, and then finally the path of initiation. And then there's the way. And that way really begins, after the destruction of the causal body. So these are the three preliminary steps for which the practice of alignment should have prepared the student of the higher mysteries. These steps must precede all efforts to develop the intuition. Note this. You know, because we want to be systematic about what we're doing so that we can actually be successful. So these are the steps which must precede the development of the intuition. Now remember, intuition dispels illusion. We're not, with the technique of light, we may discriminate, we may dissipate glamour, we may be somewhat successful in understanding more deeply the kama manas and even the illusion of the concrete mind, but to really dispel it, the intuition is needed. These steps must precede all effort to develop the intuition, and this may take several months. I think he's being optimistic, or even years of careful preparation. Fire is the symbol of the mind, and these are the first three stages of the Agni Yoga discipline, or the yoga of fire, for which Raja Yoga has prepared the student. So, entry into fire. That's what we're talking about here. Let the fire rage, the flames devour, let all the dross be burnt, and let me enter through that gate and tread the way of life, something like that. Enter through that door. Okay. So, that's as far as we're going to go today, because the next time we take it up, there'll be six more stages in the technique, which must be thoroughly understood and form the basis of prolonged brooding and intelligent reflection, carried on whilst the daily avocations and duties are being performed and not carried out at certain set times. So it's an always factor. Okay, six stages, always considered. All right, what page are we on? Some page, what page? 179. So what I'll do here, so I don't get lost, We've done a couple of pages, which is about what we can expect in this reading, if we really want to deeply absorb. So pages 179. I'm not sure when the next time we get together is, but we're sending out, Tuya and Anne are sending out every week a kind of a calendar that helps you find the link. And okay, so this is the ending of program 171, and this will be the beginning of the next program. And I'll just say program 172 and page 179 to whatever will take up these six stages. We are approaching the soul in preparation to cultivate the intuition in such a way that we can use the technique of the presence. Now, when we study together in identification as being, we are also dealing with the presence. And we are discovering that, strange as it may seem, the real we, the real I am the presence, the real we are the presence. We're discovering that. And then you really have to be, as it says earlier here, fitted for contact with the real before those subtle apprehensions begin to appear as more important and as more fundamental than all the sensory input that you are getting. So I think, you know, maybe that can be understood. Okay. Now, let's see here. And yeah, well, so we're all welcoming each other. Great. Is there anything that anybody would like to write or say? Now, let's see. I think you have the possibility of raising your hand somewhere here and or speaking if you would like to. Or you can write something in the chat box in relation to what we have been discussing. I think, you know, it's a very deep little book, and the real work of it won't be done for another 200 years. And even then, it will be applied practically. The seed phase of it will be over. And a real practical application by many standing with masked intent in relation to C group number two and equipped with the power of the observer, then that will begin to take place. So this is a long-term project, and just get ready for a lot of work during the Aquarian age. The summation of which will be appreciated after we get through some centuries of it. Okay. Is there anybody that wants to put anything in the chat and, you know, or say anything about what we've done or about occultism in general? Yeah, and it's Martha. Ah, Martha from Denmark. Okay. Okay. Now I have it. I'm sorry. We have a Martha. Just want to make sure. Okay. If there is anyone. Well, if there is not, then we can get right on into our meditation. You know, I just want to say that all of these angles of study, they all come together eventually, don't they? You know, I've often said that Tibetan has written one big book for us. He could have written a lot more, but, you know, he has to take into consideration our ability to assimilate, which is, you know, limited, of course. And all these different things that we're studying, you know, glamour, identification as being, the cosmic fire, you know, we're bringing in all of the different ASK programs about the attracting money for hierarchical purposes and looking at the souls of nations and the esoteric United Nations work, looking at triangles from a more scientific point of view. There's no way that these don't all blend together in our mind at some point. And everyone, you know, in astrology, when we talk about aspects, one planet affects another. One sign affects another. There's a mutual interaction. Well, all of our studies here are aspecting each other until, instead of a fragmented point of view, we get a much more holistic point of view. And that's what we're after, you know, to understand a very big picture, as DK does, only for us, with increasing meticulous entirety. That's what he calls it. And he has definitions there under the formula of fusion for the second ray, inclusive reason. Okay, and I just want to say that later on tonight we'll be 6 p.m. we'll have our Zoom meeting on a treatise on cosmic fire in greater depth, you know, than we may have studied it before. Now, next. I'm not going to, normally I would take the attractive ones that Tuya made, but because I'm changing the glamours all around, I didn't have a chance to do that yet. So we'll do that now. All right, so we'll meditate together now. And the glamour that we're undertaking is this extraordinary twisted suspicion leading, you know, to a completely distorted conspiracy theorizing and action to the distortion of conspiracy theorizing. You just don't even want to know what some of these misguided people have been believing and acting upon and attacking others for. You know, you say this is the modern era. How can people be so deluded? But then remember, the destroyer of souls, the deluder of souls, and the manipulator of souls. And there is some source that they've connected with, a certain Q, who knows what that is, who is really a deluder of souls. And they have been deluded. And it's fallen from, well, it's a combination really of illusion and glamour, really. So, we'll just have some silence to come together as a group and an effective instrument. To help to weaken this dangerous conspiratorial tendency. And we will use the protective formula, forehead, heart, left eye, right eye, because protection is needed when we enter into this area of what DK calls the area of greatest illusion, the astral plane. He uses the word illusion lightly, not specifically. So, as a soul, I work in light. And darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work. And from that point, I never move. So that cross of divinity before each of us and before the entire group. We focus the three lights, as we are accustomed to doing. The vital light of matter, lifted to the level of the lower mind. The light of mind, that is, logic, reason, clarity of thinking. And seek to become in touch with the light of the soul. And bring it down too, to join the two other lights, the three lights form one light. On the mental plane. vital matter, clear thinking, and the light of the soul as one. Fused together. And then we say, the light is one, and in that light we shall see light. This is the light that turns the darkness into day. And then we use the formula. And we say, radiance are we and power. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth, the inner world of meaning, and the outer world, subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. Thus, with the light we work and turn the darkness into day. Our great searchlight is generated, goes forth upon the astral plane, which we visualize, and then we strengthen that beam so that it can do its dissipating work even more effectively, concentrating upon our beam, our group beam. We say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal. On that goal, using these words of power, is the dissipation of this glamour of twisted, suspicious thinking and feeling, leading to distortion. Amazing distortion of the truth. And the people over the years, when they have these kinds of suspicions, they believe them. And it leads to all kinds of dangerous and wrong action. All kinds of action which does not support the plan, but is against it. We imagine what would have happened if these groups of people with their guns had gotten into the Senate and House of Representatives when the senators were there and the representatives were there. They had been shunted off to secure holding places. But some of them came with the intention to kill. Because of their twisted beliefs. Not just QAnon, but the belief hammered in as a big lie that the election had been stolen from them. So let us use, in light of this glamour, shot through with illusion, these words of power. And let our beam weaken the clouds, miasmas, the fogs, the mists, that lead to such distorted feeling and thinking. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of twisted suspicion leading to distortion, distorted conspiracy theorizing. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour from affecting humanity, this twisted, suspicious, distorted state of mind. The power of our united light destroys the life behind this glamour. Now we'll take our 5 minutes of intensity of purpose and in silence whilst the work is seen occurring and these words of power are applied, weakening the effect of this glamour. 5 minutes. The sun of truth shines brighter, and the millions are no longer deluded by the chimeras of suspicion. This misleading of the people, of their consciousness, is weakened. And so we withdraw our light, our beam, back onto the mental plane. And the lights go to their proper place. And we sound the Om, knowing that some work has been done to weaken this twisted, this glamorous, twisted state of mind filled with suspicion and outlandish belief in things that have no basis, in fact. Let us close with the sounding of the great invocation. And we'll see you, some of you anyway, this evening here, 6 p.m. GMT. For deeper investigation into a treatise on cosmic fire, as we try to grasp that synthetic understanding which the Tibetan is trying to teach us. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. from the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you, everyone, and we'll see you later. Continuing with our ASK programs, and as I say, Tui and Ann every week are preparing a kind of a weekly calendar from which you can reach your use links to reach the program. And that, I hope, will be helpful. So, thank you, and we will be in touch. How can we help it, since we're the same thing? All righty. Bye for now. And thank you.